Sorry, I was so focused on playing piano that I forgot I signed myself up for scripture reading, so. Okay, so our scripture is Acts 16:31. It says, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'"
I was waiting for it to say Pastor Omar to go up. I didn't know. So used to, you know, waiting for that. How's everyone today? Happy Sabbath. Everyone's doing well? Amen. Someone said, Don't know who that was. But, yeah, sometimes we could feel a little with the weather. I know we're... It's like it teases us, the sun comes out a little bit, and it feels good. You're like, yeah, March is almost here, and then it just says, mm-mm. I had an interesting week this week. This week we had a week of family enrichment in the Spanish church. I was preparing. Y'all could see that, right? Nope, I don't want you to see my notes. There we go. Today, Pastor is having trouble with technology. All right. Ta-da! Okay. There we go. So I had a week this week with the Spanish church. I had a week of enrichment, family enrichment, and Barbara and I spoke about some interesting topics. Probably we all know about. They probably did as well. But it's good to, you know, go over these topics in regards to family. And so one of those topics that we did discuss that I love is communication. Right? Communication. Communication, is it important or is it not important? For family, is it important or is it not important? It's important, right? We all agree that communication is vital for a family to complete his mission, as I like to say, or to be effective, be an effective family. And so the title of this week was My Imperfect Family. And we had an amazing time. My wife Barbara helped me out so much. I have to thank her a lot. She was greeting, and she actually is preaching over there today because unfortunately the gentleman that was supposed to come, the pastor and his wife that was supposed to come to finish off the weekend, they got stuck in Dallas with the snow and the ice storm that they received. So unfortunately, my wife could not be here today to help me out because I really wanted her to help me out. So I will try to manage and get into this right away. Everything okay? Everything, we ready to roll? Amen? Amen. All right. Let us pray so the Lord can lead us into this topic. Father, we want to thank you so much. Number one, because you communicate very well with us. Number two, because of that communication, you allow us to experience your love, your grace, your mercy. And so for that, we are grateful. Thank you for allowing us to be here in your house of worship, not only so that we can worship you, but to get closer to you through our worship, through our songs, and through our through your bread, what is your word. And so I just pray as we open up scripture, as we open up this topic, that it may be one that we can not only just listen to, but we can also apply it into our lives and also share it with others. We love you, Father. Forgive us for our sins and bless us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so communication is very important. If I was to continue wearing these sunglasses and no one tells me anything throughout the service, that is some bad communication, my friends, right? Because it is not sunny in here. As a matter of fact, I can't even see the screen up there. I cannot even see the screen up there. Good thing there was one right here. But the honest truth is that a lot of times in family, we ignore what needs to be communicated with one another for whatever reason. Today, we're going to talk about that. This was the actual picture that I showed, or the flyer that I made up. It's called Mi Imperfecta Familia, My Imperfect Family. And that is my family, my wife's mother and dad, and my in-laws, and all my in-laws. My sister-in-law is there too. And we took this picture at Southern when they all came to live with me in a little small apartment. Yes. My in-laws at that moment, they were experiencing, I think that was when they had Hurricane Maria was at that point. Hurricane Maria destroyed Puerto Rico. So when we finally found them, we were able to communicate with them. We told them to come, even though it was very, very tight, because at that moment, I also had rescued my sister-in-law from a very bad situation, and we brought her also to live with us. And so imagine all those individuals and my family all together living in a 1,000, maybe 1,000, one bathroom, square foot apartment, somewhat of apartment home. Not too bad. Jomar says not too bad. He loved it. He loved the chaos, right? It was awesome. My in-laws are amazing individuals. They're amazing people. I love them to death. They're like my parents. They've adopted me. And so it was actually a good time. I can't complain. There was privacy is an issue, you know, privacy is an issue. You can't walk in your undies and stuff like that. But I learned to deal with that. You know, we had to communicate, you know, and stuff like that. But it wasn't too bad. The Lord is good. He had blessed me. But today, talking about communication, Acts 16:31 says, "And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your what? Your house." This is a very interesting verse that Paul stated. And, you know, because I can actually picture this. This was when he was imprisoned, and him and his boy Silas were imprisoned, and they were singing songs and praises to the Lord, and even in their misery, and all of a sudden an earthquake occurred, a miracle occurred, an earthquake started shaking the ground, and I guess it was so strong it started unbuckling their chains, and all the cells started opening up, and this prison guard that was in charge of the whole prison freaked out. He was like, "What is going on here, right?" And he knew that in this moment was going to be his last moment, because if all these prison guards get out, then he would be charged, or probably in most cases, after being charged for letting all these prisoners out, he would also be killed, executed. And so at that precise moment, he decides to take up a sword, right? He takes up the sword, and he's going to commit suicide. And as he's about to commit suicide, there's an interruption there by Paul. And Paul says, "Hey, he actually comes into the cell where Paul is, and he says, you don't have to do that." And then he tells him, basically, "In order for you to be saved, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." He could have left it there, right? He didn't know who this prison guard was. He could have left it there. He could have said, "Yeah, you'll be saved." But Paul added this other part, which says, "You
and your house. And I thought that was pretty interesting that he added that part to it. You and your house. Taking this into consideration, just looking at the verse itself, there's some important things here that I would like to kind of bring about. But communication was very key at this precise moment for Paul to kind of give this man an opportunity to know who is Christ, an opportunity to save his life, right? It was an opportunity. He needed to communicate this very well. I don't know if Paul yelled at him. I don't know if Paul said it silently, or I don't know how Paul communicated this with. If we look at the original language in Greek, it is intensive, so it might have been most likely yelling at him or with some type of urgency, like, hey, don't do that. You know, there is a probability, there is a way, actually, that you will be saved if all you do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a couple weeks ago, I showed y'all what it is, what salvation, how to attain salvation, right? And I don't know if you guys recall that faith or believing equals your salvation. Believe in Jesus, right? Believe in Jesus Christ. And then I started thinking, well, this word believe is just, it's something that we take it kind of like for granted a little bit. And so I did a little bit of digging. And so in finding out the word believe here in this particular context and everything, and in wherever else you see it in the New Testament, believe is more than just a thought. Okay? It's just more than a thought. Now, the fact that you believe and it's maybe more than a thought, it's actually an action, a verb. There's an action behind it. And the action that is behind the word believe is complete surrender. Okay, if you look in the Greek, it's complete surrender. Surrender what? What are you surrendering? Well, in this case, for this particular person, he has to believe in Jesus Christ in order to believe that he's going to be what? Saved, right? That he's going to be saved. So there's nothing else that's going to save this man but the fact that he needs to believe in Christ in order to be saved. A lot of times, people think that your faith is what actually saves you, and saying that you're doing something in order to get a reward out of something. Okay? Let me kind of give you an example here. So if I have faith that I have this clicker and I turn this little red button here, then, or if I believe it's going to work, and you can see the red dot up there, right? I believed in that, but I had to do something, which is press the button, right? I know that button, that's what it does. But what this belief, what I'm talking about here, is actually a little bit different. Actually, it's a lot different. See, it's not about me taking action. Before I even took action, what this is telling me is that someone else took action for me. Hence, I am surrendering completely to the authoritative here, which is Lord Jesus Christ. I am surrendering my whole thoughts, okay, to him. That's what this belief actually means. That is the leap of faith that I'm taking. There's nothing that I can do that will save me. There's nothing that anyone could do to save me, to save my soul, but my belief, my surrender to Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. And so when I was looking at this, I said, man, a lot of times we say, oh, you got to have faith. You know, like the song, you got to have faith. Nah, nah. And people think, oh, yeah, let's have faith. And there's like this whole movement of faith. And you see t-shirts, everybody printing out faith, like that t-shirt is going to save you. Like a bracelet is going to save you just because you wear what Jesus would do. And so we put our faith in these things that we think, you know, that we believe, we for some reason we believe it's going to save us. I'm going to just start doing these things because I believe it's going to save us. And we don't realize it, that the only thing that can save us is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that requires a different type of belief, which is a complete surrender of my suppositions of anything, of whatever I think faith really is or belief is really is in my past, and surrender completely to something that is new and something that is different, something that is true, something that is real, something that holds forever and ever and ever and ever. So now, the reason I brought that up is because when you put it in perspective, a lot of times we think that, you know, we pray, Lord, you know, I've been faithful to you. I believe in you. Save my home. Save my house. You know, my son or my daughter, they're not coming to church. And my wife and my husband, you know, or whichever, you know, I can't get along with them. We've just been arguing and we're just asking all these things for God to save our home. And then, you know, we get to in the despair of our, if you say in your word that my house will be saved, then is that even true? Can we say that? Can we ask God that? God, you said it in your word. If I believe in you, then why isn't my household saved? Why is my son still doing the things that he's doing out there? Why is he lost? Why are they not home? Why? And so we start to question these things. And so communication is a very important role here. And I think that I really believe that Paul, when he stated this, he stated what he meant. Is what he actually believed. He had complete surrender in his life. And so that's why he was able to pass on to this brother and say, listen, just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your home. Now, a lot of times in a home, we have a lot of disagreements, don't we? A lot of disagreements. This could be in your immediate home and this could be in your family. We have a lot of disagreements. You know, if it's the wife, she may disagree that you paint the wall black, you know, or if it's your husband, he may disagree that he has to take out the garbage all the time, right? And especially if he has like 10 kids. You're like, baby, why can't you ask one of the kids to take out the garbage, right? And so there's sometimes this lack of communication, honest communication that happens a lot of times in our place, in our homes. And it also happens with those around us, because whatever happens in our homes, my friends, a lot of times those attitudes, that same thought process, we bring it to the family here, the church family here, this home. We are a reflection of what happens in our home, believe it or not. Sometimes though, like how I put the glasses on, that's what we do. We put some special glasses on, we come to church, and I like there's nothing happening in our homes. We come here and we smile at each other and happy Sabbath, how you been? And when I look in people's eyes, I can tell that the home is not happy. I can tell that there's brokenness everywhere. You know why I can tell? Because my home is an imperfect home as well. There is brokenness in my home as well. There's disagreements in my home as well. And so because of that, I can tell. And so we go through this daily, and it's a struggle. Last night, I hit up a friend. I saw he put a comment on Instagram, and you know, he talked about a little bit about not agreeing with all the theology of Adventist, and he was an Adventist pastor. We graduated together. Yes, either he graduated a year before me or we graduated together. I don't recall right now, but we did we started together and we kind of finished together. And he had a call and he had struggled a little bit, but you know, he kept going through the motions, you know. And so he posted the things that he didn't agree with, and so I had to respond. I had to see what was going on. My thing wasn't about the theology, about whether his theology, what he thought about Adventist theology. My thing was there was something wrong in his soul. And so I just posted, hey, man, I agree with 1 in 6. You know, we at Adventist, we get kind of too caught up with this, etc. And so he wrote back to me. That's all I needed him to do, is write back to me. He wrote back to me. And he's like, yeah, man, you could get, you know, if you look at this context and blah, blah, blah. And then I said, and so I just wisely tried to communicate with him, but to the point of letting him give me information, not for me just to ask him. And so I said, Lord, if this is your will, then let me guide this young man. And so we got to the point where finally I said, hey, man, in our conference, they're hiring. I would love for you to be you and your family to be a pastor, you know, pastor this area, whatever, because he's an awesome person. And he said, oh, well, thank you for the offer. My family is in Atlanta. And then I know that he's studying. He posted that he was studying somewhere else. And I said, okay, so now's the time to ask him. And I said, so what you're telling me is that, are you divorced? And he told me, yes, I am divorced. And that broke my heart in pieces. Communication was the reason. One day he comes home, his wife is not there. She leaves him a note with the paperwork and says, I wanted the divorce. I'm in Atlanta with my family, and you give me the divorce. And he says, and I just gave it to her. And that broke my heart. And I said, what was the number one thing? And he said, lack of communication. My friends, we make no time. One of the reasons why we lack communication is because there's no time. We, for some reason, are just, for many of us, are up and going and just moving along. Unfortunately, the pace of this life is quite fast. And unfortunately, this means that many, many times, there's no time spent in dialogue. I remember when, and I'm pretty sure I've said this plenty of times, when my mom married this gentleman. He has this Italian background, and he's all Italian, about Italian family and this and that. Italians have this thing in their culture where they all have to meet at the table for dinner. It doesn't matter what time. Everybody knows once dinner's done, everybody meets at the table. And it's the moment that they're the loudest. If you've ever been, I don't know if there's any Italians here, but if you've ever been sitting at a table with Italians, they are loud. They have all these side conversations, and everybody's in everybody's conversation. And then at the same time, you're saying, pass me this, pass me that. And so it's funny because when my mom and I, we weren't used to stuff like that, and my little brother, you know. And so going to Christmas, to these family gatherings, that's what they would do. They would turn off the TV, no Super Bowl, no nothing. You know, just turn off the TV and just eat and laugh and joke and how you doing? How you doing? And all these awesome things. And I didn't understand that. I really didn't. I was like, these people are crazy. This is crazy madness. Dinner time, crazy. My mom and I and my brother, we would sit in dinner and it would be quiet. We thought it was quiet time for dinner. Okay. This was the opposite. But now I understand. Now I understand what that meant to him, because he knew where I was at. He knew where my brother was at. And so it's about the simple things. Talking about the simple things in dinner. Talking about just, how was your day? How are you doing? What's going on? Do you have a project? Do you need help in your project? Do you need, you know, just simple things. And it blows my mind, because a lot of times, up and going, we have and I see it in my family sometimes where I'm constantly going, hey, I'm going out, I'm going to go visit someone, or I'm going to go do this, I'm going to do that. And we miscommunicate a lot of times. There's these misunderstandings is what happens. And the problems become, okay, one misunderstanding is fine. Two misunderstandings, okay. Three misunderstandings. And if you just put in the shade and you just keep going, right? If you just put in the shade and you're pretending like nothing's happening, those misunderstandings continue to pile up. And for whatever reason, men, we keep things in compartments. It doesn't affect us. Now, we'll continue going on. But it does affect the women to a certain extent, that they can't take it anymore. And then instead of, there was maybe a misunderstanding, like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. And she's going to say, what, again? And you're like, no, baby, I'm sorry. I'm serious. She's like, well, what about the other time? And what about the other time? What about the other time? You've been messing up this whole time, you know? And so it really is something that, this time, the thing about having no time is something that we have to work on a little bit more. You know, and so can we identify, right? Can we identify with this? And sometimes it seems hopeless because we're just constantly moving. We have to finish a project. We have to do this. We have to do that. We have to make sure that the kids are here, and we have to work. We have to prepare, you know, whatever it is that we have to prepare. And it's just like, we're just miscommunicating constantly. We're missing the cues.
But I want to let you know today that there is some type of hope. There is hope. No time. What is the solution? The solution is we have to be available. You know, we have to make ourselves available. If we don't make ourselves available, that's the biggest problem. Sometimes the availability. And so if there's a misunderstanding, there has to be a time that you have to say, honey, or honey, baby, whatever you want to call, boo-boo. You know, you have to say, can I talk to you tomorrow? Can I talk to you tomorrow? Why? Because you have to make time. And you can't just say, I want to talk now. And he's like, yeah, I just got home. He's like, yeah, well, the kids have been doing this and this and this. And he's like, honey, I just got home. Like, why are you after me? Like, you know, we take that to heart when women just attack us like that, you know? And so I'm serious. It's like, you're like, whoa, hey, I just got home. Give me a second. So we have to make time. Not any time is the best time, right? And for gentlemen, especially if the women say, hey, we need to talk, don't think that night, the magic's going to spark up and happen and all that, okay? We have to be aware of the situation. And kids, when you go talk to mommy and daddy and you see them on the phone ironing, doing things, and that's probably not the best time to have a conversation with mommy and daddy, okay? We have to find a way to make it where you see, okay, mommy and daddy's not busy, or maybe say, hey, mom, send her a text. If you know she's, is there a time that I can talk to you this week? You know, I'm having some trouble at school or whatever it is. I want to talk to you about school or whatever it is. But make sure that we do come across where we give each other time to say, hello, we need, you know, I'm available. When are you available? Another thing is don't talk when you're upset. Oh, my word. We do this all the time. We talk when we speak when we're upset and we say things that we shouldn't say. You always do this. That's more for the ladies. You always, men do it too sometimes, but I know women like to do that a lot of times because you remember a lot of things that we always do, okay? We forgot about that like 6 years ago, but it's brought up again for whatever reason. And so it's something that, you know, women's minds connect everything together. Everything's connected to them. Like I said, men have separate compartments. If we want to watch Super Bowl, we're just going to watch Super Bowl. Nothing else is connected to that unless it's Super Bowl. If we want to, you know, fix the car, it's only fixing the car. We cannot do multiple things. It's not attached to each other. They're all separate. Deal with the kids. We have our time to do. Moms can do everything. They're all interconnected. And there's something that connects everything to that. And that is called emotions. Okay? They put their emotions into everything. That's why the food tastes so good, because they put their heart and emotion into it. You know, now if you've been a bad boy, she's gonna make sure it don't have enough salt or something's missing so that you'd be like, oh, what's this? But you're gonna have to eat it, because if you don't eat it, you're in trouble, right? Women are slick. I know. I've been there and done that. I see that. That's when we can have that moment. Now, quality time is for those that, another thing about quality time that I say, it's not just getting the time in and say, okay, what do you have to tell me? I got 15 minutes. You know, we can't be like that with our kids. We cannot be that with each other. We have to say, okay, what are you talking about here? Half an hour, 45 minutes? How much time do we need? Look for that quality time for each other. And so I found that giving that quality time actually gives me the opportunity to listen, which is what we're going to talk about later, but and really spend time and let that person know that you mean the world to me. You are, when I say that you are my queen or you're my king, that's what that really means. Or when I say that you are, you know, and I do this with Jomar sometimes, where I had to go, but I realized, I was like, you know what, let me spend some extra time with him, because I don't know what he is going through. And so I'm acknowledging that he wants to tell me something, but he doesn't know how to express it to me, because that happens sometimes to kids. They don't know how to express themselves like how we do. So just make sure that we do that. What does the scripture say? A scripture in Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is what? Is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. You know, the lack of patience is another reason. We are not tolerant. We want the, you know, one of the things when I first
When I was first married, my first couple of years, I just really didn't know how to express myself. And so my wife was like, what, kai got your tongue, you know? And we're just like, she's like, say what you got to say, just say it, you know? And so it was something that I had to really work on and that she had to work on because she wasn't that patient with me at times. And I could say that because she gave me permission. That's the reason why. We kind of talk about this already. But I'm the opposite. I have patience. I'm the type of person, I have patience for a whole, you know, you could talk, we can continue talking and talking and talking, right? and we're like, oh, 2 hours went by, you know? I'm the opposite. My wife, she's like thinking, okay, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do this, and rightfully so. So we have to look for that patience. Remember that when you're trying to solve a discussion or disagreement, it doesn't have to be something that has to be resolved at that moment, right? You're just trying to get that information out to the person, to the person that you love in a loving manner and being patient and so on. So you don't have to resolve. You might have to say, hey, can we come back to that another time? Because I need to process this through, right? And so that is very important. Facing the problem and ignoring each other completely will just make things worse. So please, lack of patience. What is the solution to that? Well, give the person space and time. Listen to each other before speaking, which sometimes we don't do, right? We're already thinking. The person's trying to tell us their problem. And as men, we're like, I already know the solution. But see, the women don't want the solution. They just want you to listen to their problem, to know that you care, right? To know that, hey, this is important to me and I need you to listen to me. But man, we're already like, well, you could solve that. That's no problem. I recall the other night too, someone had said, oh, pastor, this, you know, I need to know about this information, da, 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 da. And so I gave her the information. And I said, how you doing? And she writes back, pastor, I'm mad at my husband. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. And I was hoping that she wouldn't tell me why, but she started ranting on why. And it was just the silliest things. It was just like one after the other. And I guess this happened all in one day, okay? And I'm laughing because I'm thinking about this whole week that I just went through. And I'm like, should I give her the steps? Should I give her the solution? Or should I say, I'm sorry you're going through this. You know, I'm going to pray for you if you need any, you know, any additional, you know, help or whatever, you know, whatever. And so I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to do, because if not, she's not going to answer back to me and she's going to think that I'm just trying to, you know, solve her problem. And so I did. I said, hey, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. Miscommunication could be hard sometimes. Hey, I'm going to pray for you and I hope that it turns out to be okay. Guess what? She said, thank you so much, pastor. You know, I just needed somebody to give me some encouragement. I avoided a whole hour of going back and forth. You know what I'm saying? And not that I didn't want to, but again, it's just you have to understand how to give space, how to understand how to listen and to, you know, speak if you need to. But if you don't, sometimes it's just listening. Put yourself in the other person's place. Show empathy. Pay attention to the body language. Don't, you know, if you're speaking to someone and they're looking up or they're looking to the side or they're looking at their phone, obviously it's not showing patience. It's not showing, learn to manage your anger, your emotions. I had a situation this week again. I started speaking to someone and they just started crying. Okay. So I couldn't really speak to them because I understood that no matter what I said, it wouldn't help the situation. It just wouldn't. I'm sorry. The person was in tears. They were bawling. And so I said, okay, would you like me to give you a moment? And she's like, yeah, please, pastor, please. So I gave her a moment. I waited there with her. I consoled her a little bit. And then I said, is there a better time that we can speak? Sure, pastor. Later on, we'll speak. I said, amen. Left it at that. Because she was just too emotional. And she wasn't going to listen to anything, any type of advice or anything that she needed to hear. So she just needed my presence there to know that I'm consoling her, right? Practice silence and listen is one of the hardest things, but we have to try to do that. Practice silence. I know that I'm one that when someone speaks to me, and especially if I'm offended or if for whatever reason, or they're offending me as they're speaking to me, I want to clap back. I want to have an answer to that. And so practicing silence will allow you to do everything else above. Everything that you see above there, it will allow you to engage. It will allow you to really, you know, show the body language that you care and that you're showing empathy, okay? And on top of that, it will prepare you to know whether or not, you know, to be, you know, not allow your feelings to get hurt and all that stuff. It will allow you to stay focused and on the what's happening, understanding what's happening. The last one, it pertains to parents, especially with their kids, but also with males, when female and male are talking to each other. Understand the level of the person, okay? I'm not going to expect my 5, 6, 7-year-old, 8-year-old to understand, you know, adult stuff, right? So we have to have that in mind. And so on. And some males don't, you know, they go about a different way. I remember when I used to get upset at my mom, I couldn't talk to my mom. I would get so upset. And so the way I communicated with her was through poetry or through writing a letter to her. And then she would come back and say, okay, so this is what you're feeling. And I'm like, yeah, because I just didn't know how to speak to my mom. It was kind of hard. What does scripture say? So therefore, beloved, my brothers, let every man be quick to listen, slow to anger, slow to speak and slow to anger. Amen. That's how God is with us. Amen. He just listens to us and we could just babble. God, he's like, mm-hmm. Yes, okay, I understand, okay. And slow to anger. Amen for that. Discipline and authority. We're almost done here, guys, but discipline and authority is very important. You know, sometimes as parents, we want to discipline, or even as adults, we want to discipline, we want to be authoritative. Especially, you know, the father, we're told in the Bible that we are the priest in the home, and we're the head of the home, and we're the head of the household, and we are to, you know, rule with an iron rod. That's not true, but that's how it kind of sometimes gets through our minds. And so we're very authoritarian, and we don't let children express ourselves. I was one that I unfortunately was not allowed to express myself. And mainly in the Spanish culture, I don't know in so much in the American culture, but mainly in the Spanish culture, you do as you're told. I should say Hispanic culture. You do as you're told, and it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. You just continue going on and don't. And then one thing was, because I was a man, I could not show my emotions. And so anytime that I would tear up, my dad would whack me in the head and say, don't you dare cry. And I'm like, he just smacked me in the head with your hands made of iron. Like, you know, he was a carpenter, mechanic, everything in the above, and his hands are so hard. And so I never understood that. You know, I remember when Jomar was growing up, I almost did the same thing to him, in not smacking him in the head, but not allowing him to express his emotions. And that could be harmful. That could be harmful for a kid. However, leaving it alone also can be harmful. You have to talk to him. I remember Jomar, Papi, I'm sorry, I'm blasting you, okay, today. I remember Jomar used to cry about everything. Like, I would be like, hey, so what happened? What are you gonna, like, why are you crying? And so I had to let him know, hey, okay, Papi, there's times that you need to cry, okay? And this is when he was like 8 years old. He doesn't do this anymore. Eight, something like that. Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8. And so I'll be like, okay, there's like 7 reasons that you should cry, okay, when daddy ever talks to you. And I, one of them was like, if a girl breaks your heart, it's okay for you to cry. If you get punched in the nose, it's okay for you to cry. And so I gave him all these extreme measures. He's like looking at me like, what, dad? But he took that into consideration, and now he can control his emotions a little bit more, especially when he is very expressive about or his belief and stuff like that. And I'm the same way, too. The reason why is I was the same way, too. I had to learn how to do it, but I learned the hard way, which is getting smacked in the head, okay, and which is not the right way to do it. Okay, that just caused damage to me, unfortunately. The other thing I wanted to share here is we have to find balance, a balance to have a positive communication. It's all about balancing, right? You cannot do one more than the other. You have to balance it. You as parents do have authority. Okay. Forget about what the government says. You have authority. God gave you the authority to deal with these situations, but there's ways to go about it. There are those kids that need to be a little bit. Okay. And that's okay. All right. But it has to be a balance. You're not going to also put stripes all over his body like what happened to me. Okay, so we have to have balance so that our kids will not be damaged forever. And the last thing is give importance to their problems and teach empathy and listen without interrupting. Oh, and look at a person's point of view and assess. The Advantage homepage says here, and this is mainly for men, but I think it's for everybody. I'll kind of read it to you. It says, it is no evidence of manliness in the husband or him to dwell constantly upon his position as head of the family. It does not increase respect for him to hear him quoting scripture. That always used to happen in my home. To sustain his claims to authority. You know, reminding him, you're supposed to submit to me, woman. No, that's not how it's supposed to be, right? It says, it will not make him more manly to require his wife, the mother of his children, to act upon his plans as if they were infallible. You must do what I say because God made me the head of the household. No, people. The Lord has constituted the husband, the head of the wife, to be a protector, her protector. He is the house band of the family, binding the members together, even as Christ is the head of the church and the savior of the mystical body. So imagine if Christ would do what we do sometimes. I'm the head of the man. I'm the head of the household, and this is what I'm going to do. Imagine if he would do that with our church. Okay? Won't make any sense, right? We wouldn't be loving Christ. We would be a fearing Christ. No? And so let every husband who claims to love God carefully study the requirements of God in his position. Christ's authority is exercised in wisdom, in all kindness and gentleness. So let the husband exercise his power and imitate the great head of the church, which is Christ. Amen. And you can look that up yourselves and read that whole thing on Adventist Home. Beautiful message. Do not impose. Before telling children what to do, it is best to give them the necessary tools so that they can learn to solve their difficulties on their own. You know, sometimes we're very quick to, oh, I'll do it. Don't do anything and we'll do it for them. No, let them. How would you solve this, Jomar? How would you deal with this? And you kind of let you coach them through it. You coach them through. Don't impose your will. You know, they say, Daddy, I'm in love with so-and-so. No, I mean, if you you just coach them through it before saying, no, you're going to make the most terrible choice in your life. No, coach them through it. You know, that will work better than trying to do everything in their lives, and then at the end they're regretting you. That happened to, I call her, she's like my sister. Her mom was always in her life and in all her life things. And then once she finished college and got her education and became a successful psychologist, then her mom still wanted to be in her life and in her marriage once she got married, and she just had a baby. And she's like, she had to tell her mom, no more. I can't handle this. She exploded on her mom, and her mom was heartbroken. And I'm like, so her mom is like my mom. And I said, Mom, but what did you expect? You've been doing everything for her. You've been baby stepping her all the way through. And now she feels like she needs to be her own woman. You got to let it go. And so you won't get your heart broken, parents. That's one advice I definitely can give you. The last one is how can we negotiate with being flexible, but without undoing the principles that we have. There are principles still that we should not break, okay? And so make sure that we do that. Make sure that we keep those principles stated. Hey, if you, this is what we believe in, this is what we believe in, okay? And do not judge. Do not constantly criticize or punish their behavior. One of the things that I've seen is parents, especially as a Pathfinder director and other things, youth leader, there's an event in the weekend that we're going to take the kids out to a spiritual retreat, and a parent comes and punishes them because they did something. Let's say they did something, and they punish them and say, you can't go to that spiritual retreat. First thing that we can do is punish them, especially when it comes to things of God. We have to look for ways to say, you know what? When you come back from that spiritual retreat, we have a long conversation pending. Enjoy yourself. Get closer to God because you're going to need it. And so you try to correct their behavior, but in different ways. Instead, when you constantly punish a child, and criticize them constantly, and even a grown up, even a husband or a wife, they will start to put up barriers, and the communication will close out completely. Even if you try, that it will close out completely. And you can say, but why me? I was a good mom. I was a good dad. Why is he keeping me out? It's because something that we did, some type of criticism, some type of punishment that we gave them, that led to that eventually over and over again. You're not good enough. You know, saying just things that we say sometimes as parents when we're upset. And it can happen also in the marriage. So be aware of that. They said, Acts 16:31 says, they said, believe in the Lord Christ and you will be saved, you and your house. You know, this gentleman, he did believe in the words in which Paul was stating. Actually, Jesus also stated similar words, you know, calling himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are two things I wanted to hear with. The first one is that communication with God is the ultimate. It's like the most important thing that we need to have in our lives. When we break our communication with God, when we don't talk to God for a couple of days or whatever it is because of whatever's going on, because we're not making time with God, what ends up happening is that we are in fault of that, and we ourselves put barriers. God is trying to speak to us through different ways in very harsh situations, like this young man, this man, where, you know, all of a sudden he seemed himself desperate for his life, and God in the same way tries to speak to us, and if we just want to, you know, really mess up everything, we put those barriers, those walls, and what ends up happening a lot of times is that our communication with our family members, with that body, will also break up. And I've seen it happen to my family when we were all together in the same household. At one point, we all turned against each other. As tight as my wife's family is, you know, they are, and my family, and there came a point where there was issues that came up, and because we didn't speak about it, we didn't communicate well about it, it did hinder, our connection, our friendship, our everything that we had under our household, and it was everybody had to go their way, unfortunately. And that took a long time to heal, to let the barriers go down. The only thing that I found, and the only reason why we're still a family today, is because of one thing in common, and that is Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can save the family, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The minute you take that out of that nucleus, you're no longer a nucleus, you're no longer an atom, you're no longer anything, you do not exist. It is Jesus who makes the family together. It is Jesus who bonds everything together. All the different personalities is the reason why you can coexist together. Think about the disciples. Think about the church and how it moved. You know, a lot of people left their families to be in this one nucleus family, one this big family. Many of you maybe have gone through this. Some of you have been raised at Adventist. But you know that there's family that don't talk to you because you're at Venice or because, you know, you believe in this or you believe in that. And so the only family that you might have is here, this nucleus here. But the only way that we keep ourselves together as a family, as a big family, is through Jesus. Is believing in Jesus and that he can save us. One day we will be in heaven as a big family. We won't just be the Rodriguez family and so on and so on, or the Flemings, you know, we will all be Jesus Christ family. Like that's it. There's no last names. Jesus Christ is our last name. You know, it's like, that's it. You know, we're just Christians and that'll be our last name. Maybe that'll be our last names, Christians. And so, I don't know. I mean, we're just going to be one big family. And so we can't just, when I'm looking at this, communication is very vital. And I think that if we understand that the communication with the Lord is first, everything else will fall in its place. And so I wanted to bring this topic today because I believe that one of the things as a church moving forward, especially in this new year, is helping each other communicate better and being better listeners, being better people to have empathy and understand each other. I'm not saying that you don't have it, guys. You guys are awesome. But we could always be better. And it's something that I've preached to my board members that I believe in. Our leaders of our church, that we could always be better. We could always communicate better. We can always love each other better. We can always do things better with Jesus being the boss of everything. Amen.
being the boss of our hearts, basically. So I would like to invite you, for all those that want to be better and be better communicators, to stand up so we can have this last prayer. Father, thank you once again for giving us the opportunity to be able to speak to you directly. It is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ who has allowed us to connect once more, even though we're the sinners that we are, even though we've been rebellious at times, and we've missed the opportunity to reconcile. You continue to communicate to us how much you love us, how patient you are, and how you look for the opportunity for one day for us to be face to face, where we can worship you and praise you and have you next to us forever and ever and ever. Father, we ask you to continue to be in every household here that is represented. You know the trials and tribulations. You know the difficulties of communication and what's going on. And, you know, we have children that are experiencing life-changing feelings, emotions, hormones, everything, Father. And we have adults, too, experiencing the same thing. But, Father, at the end of the day, we just want to be a family. One that communicates well, one that exalts your name, one that honors you as our Father, as our King, as our everything. And so we just ask you to help us. May the Holy Spirit always speak to our hearts and remind us of your patience so that we can also be patient with our husbands and our wives and our children. And may your Holy Spirit always remind us to learn to listen to your voice. Father, we thank you because you will continue to do what you do, regardless of our faults. Thank you for being that Father, the Father that we need in our lives. As we go on our day in the Sabbath, may we continue to speak to you and communicate to you our aspirations, our dreams, and your wonders, and how we are with you. We love you and we thank you and we pray for this. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, let us sing.